Hello, my friends. I'm so excited to be back with you once again today. I have a really fun topic today. Well, not really, actually kind of a serious topic, but one that I'm very passionate about. And so before I get into that, I just want to remind you that the website, monicaswink.com, is up and running. There are a lot of things going on in that place. On Mondays, there is a new blog topic that goes out for you. On Wednesdays, I'm sending out words of encouragement, so just to help you get through your week. On Thursdays, I've started doing videos, having some trouble getting them uploaded to the website, so I'm going to work on that, but start looking for videos on Thursday. You can find them on the Minutes with Monica page. And then on Fridays, as always, adding resources that you can utilize in your own time, your own space, things that you can read or watch just to give you different experiences with different topics. And then on Saturdays, podcast. Not full-time. I don't think I'll ever add Sunday to that, guys, but who knows? Maybe we'll find something to throw in on Tuesdays. If you see something you like, shoot me an email on the contact button at the bottom of the homepage. If you see something you think is missing, or you think something is missing because you don't see it, shoot me an email at the contact button, from the contact button on the homepage, and I will do my best to accommodate, or I will definitely respond to you within a few days. So reach out, let me know what you think, and grab your coffee, your pop, your tea, whatever it is that is your drink, and bring it along and let's have a conversation. I had an experience this last week that just resonated with my whole being. Have you ever had that happen where just something just speaks to every ounce of who you are? Well, in the last week, my husband and I had the joy of being quarantined to the house together. And so we spent some time watching TV. Well, not together. We didn't spend any time together for a while. But the last day, we had an opportunity to do some television watching together. And we picked, or he picked, I should say, give him the credit for this. He picked a show called Dear Rodeo, and it was the Cody Johnson story. And this story really spoke to me. That's why I'm sharing it with you. I don't always do that, but it just resonated with so much of my life and so much of what I want to share with you. And it's not a fun topic, but it's what I build this ministry around, or a sense of it anyhow. It is a connection in many different ways, but it's an important connection in our lives that we need to make so that we can move beyond. And I think that's what his whole show was about, was this moving on. And I think there's a lot more that goes into that, but I agreed with almost everything he said, and there, you know, pieces and parts, right, that we don't agree with everything, but I just enjoyed the whole show, so I recommend you go back and take a look at it. But in a work week, I can put in about 40 hours developing different articles, media, different forms of media and programs around this idea that he shares about, and I do a lot of research in those topics as well, because they're valuable that I stay on top of subjects in which I talk about, whether it's in individual sessions or in retreat events or other speaking engagements that I do. It's important that I stay on top of what is going on in the field of research in those areas. And so anyhow, I spend a lot of time focused around what he shares in his story. In fact, the most recent blog and video that I did developed this mission of my work from a broad sense, and I took it from this broad sense and I narrowed it down into this really just kind of pinpointed description of what it is that I do, and that I talk about in this narrow description. I talk about us living into our story. And I briefly touch about what happens when we don't live into our story and the different pieces and parts of our life that either fit into that or don't fit into that. And so I spend a lot of time in this area, in this topic. And today I wanted to share with you what happens when we fall from dreams that we've been pursuing. That's not an easy thing for most of us to endure. In fact, some of us never make it past that initial letdown. It just somehow roots itself into our lives and doesn't let go. That has a huge impact. And I'm always sharing about how our story is not our career path, or not our relationships, or the whatever. Our story is that we're destined to live into the place that develops within us from before our birth. And we don't have any part in that. It's not a shiftable piece of who we are. But sometimes we do live into a place that's misplaced through our dreams. And these places are transitional depending on where our journey is at the specific time. And I know that's really broad, so I hope that before we end our time together today in the podcast, that you do pick up a little bit of what I'm talking about, or go back and watch some of the videos, or check into some of the resources that I put out there for you. The last blog that I put up would really kind of define that even more. But dreams can be transitional depending on our journey and where we are living into our space. If we're living from our core, the piece of us that is designed before birth, then it's a little different than if we're living into it based on the influences in our life. And in this story that I watched, you have to understand that this young man took his life from these dreams he was pursuing because of this influence that the world had on him, but it wasn't really his story. And so this part of life is where our dreams exist in what I call the fleshy part of us. It's this place in which the mental and the emotional parts of us exist. It's where we allow the world not only to influence us, but it's where we take in the information, we receive all of that information into our lives, we interpret it, and then we turn it around and we act upon it. It's because what we have allowed into this space determines many of the pursuits that we strive towards. Again, those are not our core. Those are not our root of who we are, but it's this influence that takes place that allows us to pursue and strive towards dreams that are located in this area, typically in our mind. I'm not a psychologist by nature. These are areas that I study and I understand, but I'm not pinpointing specific pieces of psychology. Please understand that. And for me, it's because I look at it from a spiritual aspect. For me, and I've always alluded to this in every piece of media I've put out there for you, but for me, it's because it is grounded in who we are designed to be by a creator God. And so when we shift that, and we separate this God piece into our piece, then what happens is when we strive for pursuits that we're not intended to strive for, something really damaging can happen to us at times. Now, there are great things that occur out of that as well, because when we fall, if we have the strength, or we have the understanding, or for me, if we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, we get back up and we learn from that and then we move forward. But there's other pieces that go into that. And so I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. But What I want you to understand is there's ways that we can strive for reaching dreams. And one can be through who we are created to be. And when those align, it's different. But when we dream into this space that we have gained through these influences of our world, and we put all of our energy and we put all of our effort in striving towards that, it's not aligned. So it can be difficult. I want to take this a little bit deeper with you. So what happens when we don't succeed at these things that we're pursuing? What happens when this thing that we're reaching for is, it's not just some event, but it's this ingrained idea or belief or desire of ours? And what happens when we fail at it, or when we fail at it repetitively, and yet we continue to get back up and make another attempt? A lot of things occur inside of us, some that we have control of and some that we don't, but a lot of things occur inside of us, and it can really zap our energy. It can really shift the way we think of ourselves, the way, and I talk about this all the time, the way that we are designed to be in creation with the rest of creation, with all of nature, with all of creation. We are designed to live into this place as we are designed as good pieces of creation. And so when we fail and we do this repetitively and then we continue to get back up and make these attempts, there's a part that takes place in our mental and emotional pieces, that fleshy part I talk about a lot. When I meet with individuals, whether they're in sessions or just through conversations, I'm really tuned into this aspect of their lives. What do they carry around with them? And a term that we give this is grief when we've lost or we continue to fail. But I'm really fascinated with this aspect that, or this piece that they carry around with them. When we experience life and we explore its many opportunities, we're going to have moments of grief. Some of those are great griefs for us. Many times, like I said, we don't even really know that this is happening in our lives, but it happens, I promise. And for those of us, when we consider the term grief, for many of us, we associate it instantly with this idea of physical death of other people. But that's not a sole descriptor of grief. Grief actually accompanies failed dreams, and there's many, many pieces and parts to grief. But it accompanies these failed dreams that we constantly are living into. And, you know, let me share a story with you real quick. When my husband and I were first married, when I met him, he was a firefighter, and he had this dream that he was going to be a full-time firefighter, but he was working to earn a paycheck. Resonate with anybody? Dream, paycheck, right? There's a difference in the two. And he, like I said, he was already a volunteer firefighter. He'd been one all of his adult life, and actually, I would say he was born that way because he grew up in that lifestyle in his home. And so, but he had this dream of becoming a full-time firefighter on a department in which that he would be able to utilize the skills that he had trained for years for. It was his passion. It was what he loved. And so he just continued to push into this space. When the first few years he worked to develop his education and gain necessary certificates that he needed in order to become a paramedic, because he felt that being a paramedic would allow him to be more valuable to an employer and open up some job opportunities for him. And I just have to tell you, applying for jobs is a really tedious job, and it can be really disappointing or take a real toll on who we are as individuals. And what I discovered a couple different things in these moments as I watched him continue this process is I realized that my husband's not a quitter. I realized that he has this great fortitude that goes with him every day. And I'm very honored to be a part of his life because of that piece of who he is. Because what happened after he got these certificates and he furthered his education is that he got offered multiple part-time jobs, and he took some of them, but he often got offered part-time jobs. There was a lot of value in who he was for a department, but he had this age thing going on, and so he got passed over every once in a while for that, and then he didn't test well, or whatever reasons, he didn't interview well, whatever reasons, we went through all of that, but he got passed over a lot. And I don't mean he got passed over 2, 3, 4 times, even 10 times. No, no, no. What happened is literally over a 10-year period, he had put in somewhere, I figure, I don't know the exact number, but somewhere around 100 applications. And again, he was working. In fact, in the middle of all this, he managed to carry a minimum of 6 jobs to support our family. They were all part-time jobs. He loved them. They were good. Not all of them, but he loved most of them. And he, over this time, he'd revise his resume. He'd practice his interviewing skills. He continued to further his education, ended up getting an associate's degree in fire science. And I'm telling you all of this so that you can understand the magnitude that's tied into pursuing dreams. If you have not personally done it, I promise you've watched somebody do this. It was this just constant drive and constant push. It's a struggle, right? And it's a constant. And then when you don't succeed, it's like this sting of defeat that we've never felt before. It's just really can hit us hard. You know, somewhere along the way for my husband, he decided, you know, he'd lost enough family time. He was done working these long hours and on the road a lot because he was in different locations, and we would go see him at work, but it wasn't the same as being at home with us. And we were, we had young children, so this was really taking a toll on him. And there was this constant defeat. It was just a little bit too much for him. And I remember the day well. I remember the space in which he came to me and he said, I just can't do this anymore. I'm done. I'm going to apply for a job that'll pay me good money and that will give me benefits and that I can be home for. What I remember most is not the fact that he was not going to pursue that dream anymore. I give him kudos for doing all the time and energy that he had. But what I remember most about that moment was I saw, this is going to sound really strange, I promise, but I saw this light go out in his eyes. This passion was gone. He had resigned himself just to do what he needed to do. And I thought, man, how do I encourage him at this point? How do you encourage anybody at that point? And I see this a lot in people, this loss of hope or this resignation of life, just an empty drive. I'm just going to do it. It becomes rote. There's no joy anymore. And it's really disheartening to watch that. Because I personally understand a little bit about what goes on behind that. Remember when I said our dreams are developed in our fleshy part and our mental, emotional being? It's not at the core of who we are. You know, and let me explain that a little bit. Let me just give you a hint at what I'm saying here is that if you, I hope not, but if you typically are an unkind, miserly person, and then one day decide, I am not going to be that person anymore. I'm going to be nice. It's that kind of shift takes place in our fleshy part. Or if you are raised in an abusive home or you live in a homeless lifestyle as a child, and then you break through that cycle when you become an adult. These things happen because the core of who we are is not altered. It's the fleshy part that becomes altered, the influences the world has on us that alters. And when we shift the interpretation of the information that we receive into the core, it's consistent. And that's the show that we watched. That's what we saw happen, is he recognized the difference in who he was designed to be and created to be versus who he was trying to be. But I want to touch on this idea of loss of a dream, because I think it's really important here. Because grief can be all-encompassing. It happens in multiple ways in our lives. But what happens with a strong emotion like this is sometimes we ignore it, or we shift the belief that we have built about ourselves. You see, because we can alter the I am, that person in us, we can alter that in our minds. I have a few ideas that I'd like to leave you with that you can explore if you've lost dreams of any real value for you. And the first is that I talk about this a lot, but it's really important. First, I encourage you to know who you are at the core. Who are you? And here's what I mean by that. Again, I've talked about this a little bit, but who are the parts of you that are non-negotiable? Have you ever taken a personality test? The good ones, the 10 to touch at the core of who we are, DMSI, and there's a couple of really good ones out there, Myers-Briggs. They really touch at the core of who we are. And that's because they understand there's this unique design to who we are. And I also mentioned to you, this is where we meet God. And I want to go to this for just a minute, because where we meet God is this place where either our spirit is open or closed to Him. And when I talk about this alignment of God and us, it's really, really important. Because when you don't have this alignment, the image you have of life is altered. And when you're dealing with the core, you're dealing with the truth. And you have to see yourself without those blinders. You have to see yourself as God sees you. And without Him, there's a distortion in this place. You need, that's the first part, is right, understanding who you are, who you're designed to be at the core. And I'm gonna tell you, that takes some real hard work. It takes real honesty. Just laying yourself out there naked to yourself, naked to God, and saying, this is who I am. There's a lot of that. And you need to seek somebody to help you process through the loss of dreams, through this grief process, these emotions that are tied into this. You need to seek somebody who's going to allow you to work through this with real honesty. So they're not going to allow you to disregard the hard parts of that. They're not going to tell you to keep going when going is wrong. They're going to be the ones who help you to recognize who you are and still hold on to something that's important, not something that doesn't exist. And whether you bear a grudge or some other emotion, they're going to be able to help you recognize that and deal with that truthfully. So you need to choose someone who's going to be a valuable resource. That's key. Not somebody to lean into, not somebody to lean on to do the work, but somebody who's going to be a resource for you is key. And I personally hold that part of healing, especially healing in grief or healing in the loss of dreams, is prayer. It's this place where it's near impossible to be honest. Right? It's this coming to the altar of God. And we allow ourselves to be weakened in that moment, not to be incapable, but sometimes we are incapable, but we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to be weak, and to be honest in this space. prayer allows you to hand off this pain, this emotion, this heaviness. It allows you to just hand that off. See, grief is one of those emotions that we're really good at justifying because, one, the world tells us it's okay to, you're going to heal in time, you're going to be all right, things are going to be okay, just keep going, you got this. But that's not always the case. And so often we ignore it or we dismiss its power. But prayer allows us to give that power to God. And when it's in God's hands, true healing begins to occur. It's still a process for us, but now the power shift has occurred and He has control of it. This is not a one-time stop and pray and you're done. It's actually talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and you'll find I use so much from this because this is the armor of God, and there's a point for that. And in this space, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it talks about this consistent. Did you hear that? Consistent in this every moment kind of prayer that we're told to pray, that we're told to practice. That's because this power that we give to God in prayer, sometimes we steal back. And that's not the point. The point is to give it to Him, allow healing to occur. And so you're going to have to continue to do this on a regular basis. That's part of handing things off. That's part of allowing something greater than us to have control. But there's something else I want to remind you before I leave you here today. I want you to remember that grief is a natural part of life. In every aspect, grief is a natural part of life, whether it's death, divorce, loss of dreams. There's a large list of grief events that happen in our life. But regardless, it's a natural part of life. It does not mean that it gets easier. No, grief is difficult. And we all grieve differently, so there's no one cure-all. There's no one fix. Recognition is key to a lot of this. Understanding who we are and how it is impacting us is really important. And this is just a reminder again that none of us are exempt from this. So whether you want to admit it or not, there have been moments in your life when some event has left you experiencing common responses as what occurs in the grieving process. They may not have had serious impact on you, but being aware is important. And there are other times in life when you may have been left feeling really desperate. And if this is the case, then you need to respond to it. And you need to deal with it. And you need to process it. And this is not an alone kind of journey. You need to work through that with somebody. There are all kinds of great resources out there. But you need to do that so that you can turn your energy into new dreams and new experiences. And for me, new joys and new moments of living into our story that we are designed to be living into. It's a heavy, heavy conversation today, guys. Sometimes they get heavy and sometimes they're just on the surface. But today, this was a real topic that I've been dealing with and working through with different groups so I can bring you some different events in the future and something we're working on and bringing you some different workshops and things that you can begin to see a hint of how we heal through these areas. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Consider where you are in this space. Are there moments in grief in your life that you need to deal with? Are there heavy moments of losses that you need to explore? So be honest with yourself, walk through this journey, take a look at some of the things I suggested, and see if those make a difference for you in your life. In addition, check out monicaswank.com. Tons of resources on the bottom of the homepage there are opportunities in which you can contact me and we can join together. I always talk about the journey, doing the journey together. I do individual sessions. Those can be done on Zoom or in person. I prefer person because there's a piece that is really, really valuable, but I can do both with you. And there are retreats or workshops available as well as speaking engagements to you, but reach out, take a look around at monicaswink.com and contact me. Reach out in any way that you can at this point. I love you guys. Blessings for your week.